vision for your finances and how we can embrace God's vision that he has for our church. In fact, next week we have some free resources we're going to be passing out. If you'll read one of these in the next 30 days, just some different thoughts about how you can experience financial freedom, a book by Randy Alcorn called The Treasure Principle, a book called The Generosity Ladder by Nelson Searcy, and then another book called Managing God's Money by Randy Alcorn. So I encourage you to take advantage of some of these free resources we'll have next week. If you want to check them out, you can walk up here after the service and you can look at them a little closer. Sometimes we view Christianity as something that God wants from us, when in reality, Christianity is something that God wants for us. In the New Testament, in John, Jesus was talking to a group of people that were just like us. He was talking to a group of people, and many of the people that he was talking to, they were trying to figure out, who is Jesus? Who is this guy? They had experienced religious teachers. They had experienced religious leaders. And they knew that Jesus was very different than the average religious person. For one, he was loving people that were different than him. And second of all, he was healing sick people. Now, if somebody's healing sick people, you know there's something different about them. And Jesus talked to them, and he's trying to explain to them, this is why I came to earth. This is why I'm here. And notice what Jesus says. He says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This abundant life was so different. It was so different from what the people were used to. They were used to religion that was oppressive. It was controlling. It was lifeless. And Jesus says, I want to give you an abundant life. I want to give you a life of purpose. I want to give you a life of hope. I want to give you a life of meaning. And it's going to come not only as you trust me as your Savior, but as you embrace me as the master and Lord of your life. Jesus says, I want you to have abundant life. In Acts chapter 16, there's a guy named Paul. Now, if you've been in church for a while, and you're familiar with Paul, but if you're newer to church, Paul actually penned half of what we call the New Testament. Paul was somebody, before he became a Christian, before he began following Jesus, he was very hostile towards Christianity. Wanted nothing to do with it. He became a Jesus follower. He became a Christian. And immediately, he got involved in his local church. Immediately, he started sharing his faith. And God began changing his life. He eventually would go on to establish churches. And he would go city to city, all around the known world. And he would preach this message of Jesus that he had received. And churches were getting started and incredible things were happening. Well, in the midst of Paul's journey, in Acts chapter 16, he had already gone to several churches and started churches, but he returns back to a familiar place, a place actually where he had been stoned, but a church had been started, and it was in the city of Lystra and Derbe. And in Acts 16, he presents somebody with an opportunity. He presents somebody with an opportunity that would have big implications on other people. Back in the 1950s, a man named Ray Kroc owned a small company that made milkshakes. He sold some milkshakes to a couple of brothers that owned a small hamburger restaurant. And through a series of events, he eventually partnered with those brothers to expand their small burger restaurant. 6 years later, in 1961, he bought the exclusive rights to this restaurant. In 1961, there were only a few hundred stores of this small burger place. But today, there are over 35,000 McDonald's worldwide because Ray Kroc said yes to the right opportunity. Ray Kroc said yes to the right opportunity. You know, in life, we all have opportunities. In 2017, the opportunities and the options are endless. In Acts 16, Paul invited Timothy. Paul presented this person named Timothy with an opportunity. And in the world where opportunities are endless, I wonder, what would you think if God presented you with an opportunity to help lives experience change forever? What would you do if God presented you with an opportunity to make an eternal impact? What would you do if God presented you with an opportunity for families to experience real hope? What would you do if God presented you with that opportunity? In 1 Timothy, or in Acts chapter 16, Paul presents Timothy with this type of opportunity. And if Timothy accepts this opportunity, if he does that, lives will be changed forever. Let's pick up that story in Acts 16, and let's see if Timothy embraces the opportunity that Paul presents him. In Acts 16, verse number 1, it says, "Then he," that's Paul, "then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." So Timothy, he's half Jew, he's half Greek. His mother was a Christian and modeled to him the Christian life. His mom showed him what does it mean to be a follower of Christ. We don't know a whole lot about his father other than the fact that his father was Greek. In verse number 2, it's speaking of Timothy, it says, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." People knew that Timothy took his faith seriously. People knew that Timothy had a relationship with Jesus. People knew that Timothy was strong in his faith. If I can just stop there for a second and say this. This church needs men that will be strong in their faith. This church needs men that will be committed to the things of God. This church needs men that in an age of no commitment that will say, "I will be committed to eternal things." And Timothy here, people knew that he was committed to eternal things. Verse number 3, it says, "him would Paul have to go forth with him." So Paul wanted Timothy to go with him to establish churches, to see people become Christians, to share the message of Jesus. This was a huge opportunity. This was an opportunity that if Timothy said yes, would change lives forever. But notice the second part of this verse, and you really have to get this to understand the passage. "And took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Without going into all the cultural nuances, Timothy was going to have to be circumcised or the Jews would not listen to his message. Timothy, it was part of the deal. If you're going to go, you have to be circumcised or you're not going to be effective. Timothy, circumcised as a young adult with no anesthesia. Guys, I know you're cringing. I want to know, how did that conversation happen with Paul and Timothy? Maybe they're having dinner. Maybe they're at the coffee shop in Lystra or something. Paul's like, "Listen, you should go with me. Like, the world's going to be changed. People need the message of the gospel." Timothy's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to go pack up my bags. They hug, they embrace. Timothy's leaving. He's jumping on his horse. He's going to go home, pack his bags. Paul's like, "oh, wait a second. There's one more little detail. Just one more thing I need to tell you. You need to be circumcised." Whoa, that's not cool. That would be a sacrifice. Timothy was willing to get out of his comfort zone. Scratch that. Timothy was willing to get into the excruciating pain zone so people could hear the message of Jesus. Timothy is willing to lay his life plans down. He's willing to say, "all these things are important, but this opportunity to see lives changed is more important." And he was willing to embrace this opportunity for lives to be changed forever. Let's see what happens in verse 4. "And as they went through the cities," this is Paul and Timothy. Timothy agreed to that. "They delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." Verse 5. "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Timothy got to experience God work in unbelievable ways.
Timothy got to see churches established. Timothy got to see new Christians come to the faith because Timothy was willing to make an investment in the work of God. In your service program, there's a note sheet if you want to track along with us. I think the first blank is right here. Giving up something now for something later is not a sacrifice. It's an investment. Giving up something now for something later is not a sacrifice. It's an investment. Have you ever put money into the stock market? They don't call it sacrificing money into the stock market. They call it investing money into the stock market. They call it investing because you're giving up something now for something later. You ever pay college tuition? Stuff isn't cheap. I don't care where you go to college. Why do we invest thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars where we could basically get who knows how nice a car? We could go on a vacation anywhere, but we use that money, we invest that money into college tuition because it's for something greater that's coming later. We invest for something greater that's coming later, for our kids' future, for our future. But the truth about investing that we all know is that it can be uncomfortable at times. Just ask Timothy. Paying college tuition isn't the only thing that's uncomfortable. You have tests, you have projects, you have all these things. Putting money aside into the stock market, that can be uncomfortable at times. But you still do it, you still invest. Why? Because investments are always about something greater that's coming later. Something greater that's coming later. This year's Super Bowl was one of the best ever. How many of you guys watched this year's Super Bowl? Yes, okay, some of you guys did. Tom Brady is the quarterback that led the Patriots back. They were down 25 points and they won the game. And he won his fifth Super Bowl ring. And he did that at the age of 39 years old, okay? What he did was not a normal feat. That guy is incredible. But a lot of people, she said amen. I don't know what that means, but maybe she knows what that's like. But few people know the investment that Tom Brady makes to get to that level. During the off season, when most people vacation, Tom Brady works out twice a day, even if he does go on a vacation. He doesn't take any days off. His diet consists of no dairy. Can you guys hear me? All right. No dairy, no white sugar, no caffeine, no white flour, and he doesn't have cheat days, ever. He doesn't eat ice cream, doesn't eat pizza, he doesn't eat hamburgers, poor guy. He actually had neurological tests done on his brain a few years ago. And based on those neurological tests, what they came out, he developed a program to work out his brain like he works out his body. So what he does is he does various brain exercises that will help him process information quickly. So he can read defenses, he can make adjustments. It's his life. The guy doesn't drink coffee. The guy doesn't eat sugar. The guy does nothing. Why is he willing to invest all of that? Like, I look at that and I'm like, that's crazy. How many of you guys look at Tom Brady's life? You think that guy's crazy? Yeah, absolutely. Why does he do that though? He invests for Super Bowls. He invests for something greater that's coming later. He invests in the offseason right now, so come this season, he can be a great quarterback. I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to give a pat answer to this question. Some of you guys have been in church for a while, and when I submit this question, you're instinctively going to say yes. I want you to resist the urge for a pat answer, okay? Some of you are newer to Christianity. It doesn't matter where you are on your spiritual journey. I really want you to think about this question before you answer it. Here's the question. Is helping real families experience real hope worth your investment? Hold on, don't answer it yet. I want you to think about this. Is helping real families
experience real hope worth your investment? Is it worth you investing your time? Is it worth you investing your energy? Is it worth investing your financial resources? Because when you invest, you are always investing for something greater that's coming later. Is helping real families experience real hope worth your investment? This is what Acts says in chapter 5. It says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Peter says, eternal things are more valuable than what any man says on this earth. You know what people tell me to do? We live in an age where everybody has a voice. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Like, you have like a 12-year-old and like their video goes viral and now thousands of people listen to a 12-year-old in middle school. It's crazy. Everybody has a voice. Everybody tells us what we should be doing and how we should be thinking. This is what Peter says. Peter says, I'm not concerned about that. I'm going to obey God rather than men. Eternity is more important than here and now. In Philippians chapter 3, this is what Paul says. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul says, more than any achievement I can have, more than any success I can have, more than any position I could have, Jesus is more valuable to me than those things. In Corinthians, Paul also writes this. He says, for though I be free from all men, in other words, Paul says, I can do what I want to do. It's my life. That's what he says. Yet I have made myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. Paul says, I don't have to do any of this stuff. Paul says, I can live how I want to live. But I've decided to be a servant because there's something greater that's coming later. There's something greater that's coming later. And Paul says, I want to invest in the kingdom of God. Paul invited Timothy to be a part of something that would change lives forever. Paul invited Timothy to be a part of a journey that would change people's lives. But you know, you never see profit from an investment if you don't make it. There's a blank in there. You never profit from an investment you don't make. It's reality, right? Let's pretend that I were to go to a broker. I don't know why people that deal with your money are called brokers. You can figure that out. But let's say I were to go to a broker and imagine me saying, hey, I would like to cash in all my investments. He would look at me and say, okay, well, what stocks do you have? Well, I don't have any stocks, but 12 years ago, I heard of this new thing coming out. It was called Facebook. And it sounded pretty good to me. I got involved in Facebook. I got an account. I even decided to delete my MySpace account and solely focus on my Facebook. I started hanging out with Facebook investors. I went out and I even went to the headquarters of Facebook and I actually met Mark Zuckerberg. I'm involved in Facebook. I know all about Facebook. I would like to get the profits on my investment. The guy would look at you and say, doesn't work that way. We know life doesn't work that way. You don't profit if you don't invest. And as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we invest in God's kingdom for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus. We invest in God's kingdom so we can see people's lives changed forever. That's our profit. Our profit isn't mere money. Our profit is seeing Jesus change hearts and seeing Jesus change lives. And that's our mission here. Our mission here is to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. This is what we're asking you, week one of this Own the Vision series. Is this mission worth your investment? Is the mission to help real families experience real hope, is it worth your investment? Now, if you answer that question yes, we're gonna in the next 10 or 15 minutes as we wrap it up, we're gonna talk about how you can invest to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. First of all, decide to give. financially initially. Decide to invest initially. To invest for some of us means giving financially for the first time. Maybe you've never financially given anything before. We want to encourage you to give for the first time. Now, maybe that's not giving anything today. Maybe that's giving something next week or in 2 weeks from now. But we want to invite you to decide to invest initially. Now, maybe you've already done that. Then your next step to invest is to decide to invest consistently. Decide to invest consistently. So you decide to give a set amount consistently. Maybe you give something weekly. Maybe you give something monthly. But you decide to invest consistently. Now, if you've already given initially, and maybe you already give consistently, your next step to investing, number three, is decide to invest obediently. Now, let's stop right here before I get into this. And I'm going to say, I'm about to talk about an advanced Christian growth principle. This is an advanced Christian growth principle. This is a Christian maturity principle. So if you're here and you're new to Christianity or you don't know anything about church, you're off the hook. This isn't for you. So you can just sit here and you can be thankful that this isn't for you, okay? Decide to invest obediently. How many of you who are followers of Jesus understand that when you embrace the teachings of Scripture and you embrace Jesus, your values, your priorities, and your lifestyle is not going to make sense to everybody? How many understand that? Your lifestyle and your priorities, they're just going to look a little different from some people. And this point, number three, this idea of investing obediently, this is one of those areas. This is one of those areas where everybody's not going to understand. And I want you to hang with me for a second, because our church is going to do something that's going to surprise some of you, and I'm announcing in just a few minutes. We're going to do something in this area of number three, and some of you are nervous, don't be, that's going to surprise you. You're going to say, are you guys really going to do this? But we are. But before we get there, I want to talk to you about where do we get this idea of giving obediently. Obediently is taught in the Scriptures, and it uses the word tithe, tithe meaning tenth. So this is what the Scripture says in Malachi chapter 3. It says, will a man rob God? How have we robbed God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Even upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. God says, and remember, like I said, this is an advanced Christian growth principle, so please don't shoot the messenger, okay? God says that giving obediently is giving 10% of your income. That's what God says. God says giving obediently is giving 10% of your income. And this is what God says. I'm going to show you verse in a minute. God says that if you will do this, that he's going to bless you in ways you can't even imagine. And let me testify for a second. In the last 4 or 5 months, me and Gina have seen these next verses come to fruition in ways that I just can't explain other than they're true. These are the verses. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So God says, bring the tithe, bring the 10% to the church, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Everybody say, prove me. Ready? Prove me. Let's say it one more time. Prove me. Okay? Prove me now herewith. So God says, I want you to test me. In fact, God kind of gives you a dare. God's like, I dare you to test me. You ever dare somebody when you were younger? You guys ever give somebody a dare? Okay? If we went around the room and say, hey, what kind of dares have you given to people? It might be kind of crazy. We both said, I dare you to do something. God gives every single person in this room a dare. God says, I dare you to bring the tithe to the storehouse, to give 10%, and I dare you to prove me, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. God says, look, I dare you to tithe and see what I'll do for your life. That's what he says. I dare you to do it. He goes on, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. God says, I dare you to do it. Now some of you are wondering. You said the church is going to do something that we've never done before. What is it? That's what the church is going to do. This is how much we believe in the promises of God. If over the next 90 days, you will decide to be fully obedient to God and invest in full obedience over the next 90 days, and you will tithe and you will give 10% of your income, at the end of the 90 days, if you don't think that God has blessed you, the church will give you every penny of your tithe back to you. Every single, say it again. If you will decide to invest obediently over the next 9 days, now I know that this is a scary thing. This isn't something that, the church that we're just talking about. No, we're backing up with our actions. If you will decide to invest obediently over the next 90 days, and you will do that, at the end of the 90 days, if you come to us and say, hey, God has not blessed me, Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12, God must have left me out of that one because it just didn't happen to me. No questions asked, we will give you back every single penny of your tithe that you have given in that 90-day window. Full obedience, full tithe for 90 days, and see what God will do in your life. Now, some of you just woke up from your nap. Some of you are like, man, I've never heard of a church doing this before. I don't know about this. This is why. Because when you invest in God's work, you invite God's blessing into your life. You know why we have this? You know why we have this? Because we believe, we've seen in our lives, that when you invest for something greater that's coming later, when you invest for something greater that's coming later, when you invest in God's work, this is what really you're doing. You're not investing, you're inviting. And God says, I dare you to try me. When you invest in God's blessing, when you invest in God's work, you invite God's blessing into your life. Now, I'm going to be real. Giving can be a fearful thing. Like, I don't sit up here as like a pastor and like, this is what you need to do. Some of you don't because it's scary. It's like, this is how much money I make. This is what my bills are. How's it going to work? Some of you, maybe you've given in the past, but just things have happened. And you don't give what you used to give. I believe that if you'll take a step and you'll invest obediently, you will be blessed in a way that you're going to think, I should have done this a long time ago. The fourth step to investing, as some of you are already investing obediently, is number four, is decide to give generously. Decide to invest generously. If you're already tithing, we invite you to invest in the future of this church and invest in the future of this city. Here at Calvary, we love our city. We love this place. And some of you are already tithing, and we invite you to invest for the future of Fairfield and the future of this church so we can have a place where real families are experiencing real hope. Can you get out your service program quickly? I have mine. Here it is. Service program. March 26th, we're going to take a vision offering. This is what this vision offering is for. This vision offering is to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. That's what this offering is for. On the back of the service program, you'll see some of the projects that we're going to be giving towards. The first project we're going to be giving towards is for our nursery remodel. I was talking to a pastor a few weeks ago, a local pastor, and was sharing with him kind of our heart and our vision. This is what he looked at me in the eyes and he told me. He said, Nate, if God were to bring you 10 new families with babies right now, would you be able to handle it? And he just looked at me. You know what I had to say? No. But with this nursery remodel, we're going to be able to handle a lot more families. We're going to be able to prepare for what God is going to do, for who God is going to bring. Because when we invest, we invest for something greater that's coming later. We're going to have a lobby remodel. You can see some pictures there. We're going to do some more with that. We're going to be having some family outreach events and give out resources for families and put a new sign face right there on the street. So when people drive by, they know Calvary's the place where real families can experience real hope. We want to have a billboard somewhere in the city where people can know that our church is for them. And we're going to have a vision offering because we believe that real families in our city need to experience real hope. And as a church, we want to give you the opportunity to invest in the future, to invest for something greater that's coming later. But all this, it really goes down to one question. Kind of the question we asked earlier. That's this. Is helping real families experience real hope worth your investment? Is it worth it? Now maybe some of you would say, nope, it's not. Okay. Maybe some of you would say, that's not worth it, but this over here is worth it, so I'm going to give my money. But I want to invite you to give for something greater that's coming later. I want to invite you to give so real families can experience real hope. It's not a sacrifice. It's an investment. Maybe you're not yet a Christian, and we taught today about an advanced Christian growth principle. And the reason we give as followers of Jesus is it's not just because we want a new nursery and we want to see our mission expand and we want to help people in our city, although we do. But the reason why we give as followers of Jesus, the reason why we invest is because Jesus invested everything for us. Jesus didn't hold anything back. Jesus gave his entire life for you, his entire life for me. Like he invested everything. He didn't give us his leftovers. He gave us his life. And Jesus loves you. And his first call for you is not for you to give anything to him, because he loves you whether you give a penny or not. His first call for you is that you will come to him in faith and put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sins and believe in him. And the scripture says that that is how you have eternal life. Jesus didn't just give us his leftovers, he gave us his life. If you're new in here and you're new to church, we invite you to give. We hope you don't give anything. We want you to receive the gift that God gave us in his son, the gift of Jesus Christ. Would you join me in praying? Father,